We just thank you for who you are and for the life you have given us, and thank you for these faithful people who have come out on such a cold morning again, and thank you for safety for them as they traveled. Be with those who are traveling a little later for the 11 o'clock service. I pray that you keep them safe. Just be with us now as we continue this study and kind of reviewing the past year, and give me the right words and wisdom, for I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue and hopefully get done today. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, there's a note sheet up here that has all the slides that you'll see up on the screen. I'll add in some information to that. A quick review. We were looking at things that are taking place now that could involve prophecy, not saying 100%, but Jerusalem was recognized as the capital of Israel. Ezekiel 38 and 39 and in progress, and what I mean by that, countries are aligning within that prophecy mentioned in Ezekiel. There's a new false god, this IQ or this artificial intelligence. There's been a increase in mocking of eschatology, or churches moving away from teaching anything to do with the end times, or if they do teach anything, it's contrary to what we teach here, and it's not biblical. There's a great emphasis on rebuilding the temple again. Oh, just lost all my stuff here. Man's character reflects end time warnings. Microchipping of humans is becoming more acceptable. Even your cell phones have a bar in there now that you can put an app on it for scanning through for purchases, etc., like that there. Evil is becoming more rampant. Lawlessness, moral decline, creed, and social breakdown is increasing. You can just read your paper, listen to the news, and hear about all that kind of good stuff. Calling evil good. Terms peace and security are being tossed around, which we know true peace and security will only come when the Lord returns. Western society has become post-Christian and neo-pagan. And then the last one, apostasy and mass spiritual delusion. And we just started to hit on this last one because I think there's two groups out there that, like I said 2 weeks ago, didn't really know a lot about them, thought they were kind of like on the fringe. But when you get into them and study it, you realize they're not on the fringe. They are leading the charge throughout the whole world. Through their evangelism and what they promote and what they teach. And it involves all kinds of organizations. And we'll get to that slide hopefully at the end. The first one is Word of Faith. And I am not an expert on Word of Faith. I'm not an expert on the New Apostolic Reformation. But you can research this yourself and find out the facts and their beliefs. There are good Christian people involved within these groups. The problem is they tend to stay there and don't leave for various reasons. Even though when you study the leaders of both these groups, I don't know why you would stay there. So if you have people or friends or family involved in there, this is not a knock on them. I am not saying they are not Christian. But to stay and to know what their leaders teach, there's dangers in that. So the facts, this Word of Faith, it's known as positive confession, name it and claim it. All you have to do is watch TBN, and you can hear, watch it all on TV. It's called Word of Faith or Word Faith. It's the fastest growing segment of Christianity. That's why I wanted to spend some time on these two. The fastest growing segment of Christianity. Sometimes it's linked with New Age and the New Apostolic Reformation. It's 100% connected to the New Apostolic Reformation. They're just like this, okay, just like this. It grew out of the Pentecostal movement in the late 20th century. The founder is E.W. Kenyon, who studied metaphysical, quote-unquote, New Thought teaching of Phineas Quimby. Quimby is the father of the New Thought movement. He's a philosopher, a magnetizer, a mesmerist, a healer, and an inventor. New Thought holds that infinite intelligence, or God, is everywhere. Spirit is the totality of real things. True human selfhood is divine. So all of you, according to him, are divine. Divine thought is a force for good. Sickness originates in the mind, and right thinking has a healing effect. So this is what they teach. This is what their leaders adhere to. And this is what the people probably in the pews don't really understand. Because they're there because it makes them what? For the most part, it makes them feel good. That's why they go. And if I do certain things, God's going to bless me and give me all kinds of monetary rewards. This is the whole premise behind all this. The mind science, where name it and claim it originated, it combined with Pentecostalism, resulting in a peculiar mix of Orthodox Christianity and mysticism. What do you think the one world religion is going to look like? All these things put together, it's a peculiar mix. I'm sorry, but this is not, so I got to move through here like this. Kenneth Hagin, in turn, studied under E.W. Kenyon and made the Word of Faith movement what it is today. Hagin claims Jesus appeared to him and gave him four steps to follow. They do this a lot. Either Jesus appears to them, angels appear to them, they've been to heaven, they've been to hell. They just do all this stuff, and everyone sits out there and goes, wow, they got it together. Because Jesus has talked to them personally. Jesus appeared to him and gave him four steps. If you do, you will receive whatever you want from me or from God the Father. So now you know where this is going into. This is going into the gospel of what? What's the word I'm looking for? Where you get money. Prosperity gospel. Yes, that's where it's headed to. This is what this is talking about. Here's some of their beliefs. Like I said, this is not a total list, but it kind of gets to the main parts. Faith works like a mighty power or force, only released through the spoken word. The formula is simple. Say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. The defecation of man. Faith teachers, these are the leaders, or faith teachers believe and teach that men are little gods. Kind of runs over into the Mormon side now. So all of you, according to them, are little gods. And they base this on John 10, 31 through 39 and 2 Peter 1 through 4. We know when you look at those, and I've looked at them, they really take things out of context there. They really exaggerate what those scriptures are saying. And if you look in a context of it, it's not saying that you or I are little gods. We're not little gods. Ken Copeland says, quote, "Now if Peter said by exceeding great and precious promises, you become partakers of the divine nature." So then he goes, all right, are we gods? We are a class of gods. See how he takes it out of context? We are a class of gods. Benny Hinn, another one of their well-known leaders, says, and I quote, "God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods, went back to heaven as a man." These are from their own leaders. This is the danger of people who sit out there and go, well, I'm just going to attend here because my friend goes here. That's the danger, because my mind kind of says if you're sitting there, then you're associating with that, then you're agreeing to what the teachers are teaching. That's the danger. Earl Pollock says, and I quote, "Until we comprehend that we are little gods and we begin to act like little gods, we cannot manifest the kingdom of God." So if you don't get your act together and act like little gods, the kingdom's not going to come. Not as fast as we'd like it to come. The humanization of God. While man is glorified in their teaching, God is humiliated in the faith system. Copeland says, I don't know how he does this, but, and I quote, "God was 6'2" to 6'3". He weighs around 200 pounds and had a hand span of 9 inches. So this is where it goes into, I've been to heaven I've seen him. I talked to him. If you stood Adam and God side by side, they look alike. And if you did the same with Jesus and Adam, they look alike and sound alike. Okay? Benny Hinn says, under inspired revelation, now I don't know where to get this, but this is what they teach, God is a triune being separate from the Son and the Holy Spirit. God the Father is a person, God the Son is a person, and God the Holy Spirit is a person. Each of them is a triune being by himself. There are nine of them in all. There are nine of them in all. Each one has his own personal spirit, personal soul, and personal spirit body. And the reason why they do it is to say, you are just like God. That's the whole premise behind this. This is what they teach. This is what you can go to TBN and listen to on television. It's in a subtle way, but it comes across that way. The teaching of tritheism, which teaches there are three distinct separate gods, and we kind of just covered that right there. The distortion of the cross. Christ was recreated on a cross from divine to demonic. That's not the cross you and I understand. So he was changed, recreated from divine to demonic. Christ took on the very nature of Satan himself. People, I'm not making this up. This is what they teach. This is what they believe. This is what they teach. Christ took on the very nature of Satan himself. Your redemption was not secured on the cross, but in hell. And some are nodding their head like they've heard this before. So your redemption wasn't sealed on the cross or secure. It was secured in hell. Christ was reborn or born again in the very pit of hell. Christ was reborn or born again in the very pit of hell. I know you have all this on your own cards, your own note sheet, so you shouldn't have to be writing down too much stuff. Christ was reincarnated. Okay, he was reincarnated. Good point. I don't know. That part I don't understand. Really, this is hard for me to grasp what they're saying because this is so, yeah, thank you. I was going to say wacky, but bizarre. I mean, it really is. But if you understand their theology, you get where this is going and where it's coming from. Okay? It's going to come around where you should see the connections or connect the dots to what's happening. As much of this seems wacky and far out, just hang in there. Through his rebirth in hell, and those who, like Christ, are born again, can become incarnated as well. This is where they get the little God thing. He went there and conquered that, was reincarnated there. So are you as believers in him. You're like a little Christ. That's the premise behind that. So the faith teachers take Christ, and this is my stuff, you can add this to your notes, the spotless lamb, and pervert him into an unholy sacrifice on the cross. Everyone get that? The faith teachers take Christ, a spotless lamb, and pervert him into an unholy sacrifice on the cross. Nowhere does the Bible teach that he took on Satan's nature. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that he took on a demonic nature. Nowhere does it say in the Bible he went to hell and was reincarnated in hell. Nowhere does it say that in the Bible. But yet people, you got to understand, they fill churches to the max. They fill them to the max. This is the danger that I see in these coming last days, is this delusion, so to speak, of what's going on. Delusion can be people who are good, saved people, but their eyes are closed and they don't see the truth. That's the danger. And that's what's going on today, rampant. I would dare say that there's few churches like this around the entire country. There are, but we're not in the majority. I disagree with anyone who says that we're the majority and everything's okay and don't worry about I don't believe that. We're not the majority. This is spreading all over the entire globe, and we'll get to that when we get into the NAR. Practices. Prosperity gospel. Richard mentioned it early. Word of faith leader's lifestyle is shown by luxury, riches, and the assurance. All this can be attained by their followers as well. If you do this, God's going to bless you and you'll become wealthy. That's the premise behind that. Okay, that's the whole premise. And when you look at them, just look on TV and see what they're wearing. See how many rings they have on their hands. They're getting wealthy because of the people coming to their churches and filling the pews. The average person in a pew, where does it say in the Bible that we'll ever become wealthy? We'll become wealthy, I'll put it in this term, spiritually, but not monetarily. Jesus said, we'll be persecuted. They would teach contrary to that. No, you won't. You're not going to be persecuted. Health. Believe that Christ provided for physical healing at the cross. So if you believe that he died on a cross, you can be physically healed of all your ailments. That's what they teach. Now, there are people who are healed through prayer or something that's different than what these guys. I've been to one of these things, and I even raised my hand to see if I go down there and get a new eye, and they wouldn't call me down. And when you go Google things, how they know who they're talking to, it's when they go to the thing, they sign a card with their name and their ailment, et cetera, et cetera. And when he's speaking, they have a little earplug in right here. So someone's talking to him from a command center, like a room, a sound room, saying, hey, call down Joanne Smith. She has a back ailment. So, naturally, if I call you Joanne Smith, please come down for your back ailment, you're going to go, oh, how would he know that? That's how they do it. And they'll plug people in the crown who are cronies, who are fakes. Call them down and just touch them thing, and they fall back, and all of a sudden they're miraculously healed. No, sorry, it doesn't work that way. Yes. Oh, that's what I said. They are.
So do you think, though, that it's just a teaching issue or that they're searching for something more?
This is what I think. I think people have been hearing that the rapture is going to happen any moment. And as that keeps panning further and further out, people get gravitated toward, oh, but if you come over on this side, we're going to teach you that you can have whatever you want. And the rapture will come. However, you have to get your act together and get this kingdom first. See, it's more of this social part of it. Or it's just more of this work thing. Really, you know what? There's got to be more than Christianity than just me going to church on Sunday and praying and listen to someone speak to me. I got to work. I have to do something. So I get involved in some social thing, which is people. There's nothing wrong with getting involved in social things. Mercy, I mow vacant land bank lots, but I'm not promoting the kingdom to come while I'm mowing the lots. Some would go on to that. Well, the more we get it cleaned up, the more Jesus is going to come back because he's making the earth look nice again. You don't think climate change and all this stuff has nothing to do with any of this stuff? And the environment? Evangelical leaders are involved in that stuff. That's their intent. If we change this, he's going to come back. So I think Christians sit there, they like the message. It's warm and fuzzy. It makes me feel good. They're not up there teaching about Christ went to hell. They're not doing that. Most of that is the prosperity part of it they do, that they trap people into, and that's what the people hear, and that's what they like. Why would you come and hear me be so negative? That's what they teach, yes.
Well, when the pulpits are falling apart and people aren't hearing truth from this source only, and they look at the world that's falling apart and they can't reconcile what's happening.
I think the delusion is powerful. I think people are easy, even Christian people can be easily swayed. As good as Kurt is the speaker, Kurt could easily sway people to the other side. There's that fine line. He would never do that, but he's a good enough speaker to where he could. And when you listen to it, you would go, wow, all right, maybe he's got the truth there. That's how good they are. See, this far out wacky people thing, nah, these guys are good. They know exactly what they're doing, and they got a lot of help with what they're doing. And I'll go back and I'll say this. Many of these Christian people are unaware of their doctrinal heresies. So they're just not aware of them. However, and I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. They cannot plead ignorance of the strange and bizarre practices and emphasis of their leaders or their main teachers or TBN or TV broadcasts or evangelistic campaigns and church services. They can't plead ignorant to that. If they're seeing those things going on here, they need to get out and not stay in. The Christian is promised a life of health. You can listen to Joel Osteen and hear all that you want. Experiences. Most of their leaders and teachers tell of being taken to heaven and hell. And everyone what? No one denies it. They all believe it. Okay, they all believe it. Some have said they have been visited by Jesus and angels. I know who they've been visited by. It's not Jesus and angels. These guys are hurting the cause of Christianity. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger as time goes on. But listen, it shouldn't surprise you. The Bible talks about this happening. And the biggest major player in all this is the Trinity Broadcast Company. Major, major player in this. This is how they're getting their information out to the country and to the world. Okay, the New Apostolic Reformation. It's a dominionist movement. In other words, man will have dominion over everything. Well, you can only imagine where they get that from in the Bible. All the way back in where? Genesis, of course. That's where they're going to get it from. God is restoring, as we currently speak, the lost offices of church governance, the prophets and the apostles. Kurt and I need to change our thing to be called apostles. Apostle Kurt and Apostle E. Everybody out there all of a sudden is a prophet and an apostle. And I'm not sure people understand what that all means, but we'll get to this. The prophets and apostles of this movement alone have the power and authority to execute God's plans and purposes on earth. Only they can do that. They have the authority. They know the plan, what God wants to do, because God spoke to them, of course, but that's how they do it. That's how they convict their movement to move. That's how they get people involved within their movement. Okay? In other words, the Word of God, your Bible, doesn't mean a whole lot because I got spoken to, so I have a lot more authority than something that was written 3,000 years ago. Because God spoke to me last night. That's how they sell it. That's how they do it. And like the other movement, people sit there and agree. They agree. It's laying the foundation for a global church governed by them. That's what they want. They want, I got to say this carefully, a worldwide church governed by them and them alone. That's what they want. So as you can see, Satan doesn't have to do anything to bring about the one world religious system. He just lets Christianity keep drifting in that direction, bringing all these other groups together, different beliefs, and little gods this and little god that. It keeps moving in that direction all by itself. All by itself. Greater emphasis on dreams, visions, and extra biblical revelation than they do on the Bible. Y'all understand that? They put more emphasis on dreams, visions, and extra-biblical revelation than they do on the Bible. And no one can question them if it was true or not true, because they're the what? I'm the apostle. Can't question me on that, because he spoke to me, I had a dream, I had a vision. Even though it may be contrary to the Bible, guess what? It's more current than the Bible. That's the emphasis here. Emphasis is not on the Bible and teaching the Word of God. It's doing this stuff right here. The guy would get up and say, gee, last night God gave me a vision. And here's our vision. We're going to go out and do blankety blank blank for the next 10 days. Not one person sitting there says, well, how do I know God gave you a vision? No one does that. They also claim they've taken trips to heaven. They claim they've met face-to-face with Christ and angels, and as such cannot be proven by the Bible. See how they do that? So when I say I met with Jesus, that's more emphasis to what's sitting on your table next to you, your Bible. That's the emphasis. Facts. It's known as dominionism, third wave, ladder reign, kingdom now, Joel's army, manifest sons of God, and charismatic renewal. So it has all kinds of connotations and names. You can see how big this little group that we thought was little, or at least I thought they were. The founder is C. Peter Wagner. And I quote, he claims the 21st century church will be ruled by apostles and prophets, and he is the presiding apostle. So he's the head apostle. So I guess he must think he's Peter. That's who he is. He's the head guy. He's the head guy. They're linked with the Kansas City prophets who said, and I quote, a new breed of super prophets were beginning to arrive on planet Earth. Now my question is, where are they coming from? But they're arriving on planet Earth. Who would change the world forever? Unquote. Eerie. It sounds like they're coming from outer space. Demonic? I'll leave that up to you to decide. Like I said, I'm not making up. This is facts of these groups. This is not being made up stuff. New apostles and the prophets are to be the government for the emerging new order church. That's what they call it themselves. Helping, and I put in parentheses here, helping with the one world religious system. See, as anyone who's doing the kingdom now work is actually doing Antichrist work. You got to look at it that way. That's what they're doing. They're getting it ready, not for Christ to come back. They're getting it ready for Antichrist. What they're doing it on the other side of it. They're getting the one world church ready to come into existence. So that's what we have here. Claim through this movement, there will be a reformation greater in scale than a Protestant Reformation. This is what they claim. People, they are worldwide. We're not talking a little place here and a little place there. They're all over. Most of Latin America, Africa, have bought into this teaching. They've bought into this teaching. I would dare say that there's even seminaries today that have bought into this teaching. Not just people who may be wacky. It's education. It's people who are educated. But that's what happens when we talk about things in the end. They claim direct revelation from God. So they claim direct revelation from God. They have extensive missionary outreach throughout the world. We already talked about that. Church growth in Africa, Asia, and Latin America contribute to this movement. It's contributed to them. So you can see the different theology that's being taught to people worldwide. That's the danger. It has the denigration of the Bible and the Scriptures. No emphasis on the Bible and the Scriptures, more emphasis on dream and visions. Extra revelation. That's got more power than the Bible does or Scripture. They experience oriented theology and is based on emotionalism. Here we go with that emotional part again. It's I need to experience in God. I just can't read about him. I need somehow to experience him. So we get wrapped up into the emotional part of this. And I hate saying this. When you watch television, who are mostly sitting in the chairs? Male or females? Females. It gravitates toward them. Why? Because you're set that way for that emotional part. That's the way God designed you. They hear it. They go home and tell their husbands. And guess what? He buys right in with the two. That's how it works. They're not dumb. They're pretty good at what they're doing. It's steeped in mysticism. Very steeped in mysticism. Okay? That's come full circle back in the early ages. Now it's crept back into the church today. Even within mainline denominations. Steeped in mysticism. It works to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. It's mandated through the seven mountains. Now to them, the seven mountains, and I'll tell you what they are. Seven mountains are the same as the seven spheres in Reformed theology. They're the same thing. They're identical. One group calls it seven mountains. One group calls it seven spheres. It's mandates that once this is accomplished, Christ will return. So until that time, he will not come until they accomplish changing these seven mountains or spheres. This is exactly what I fought someplace else with a thing they presented. I knew what it was, and yet it was sold as a can of goods, and they sat there, and people sat there for 13 weeks and went through this class. And what it was teaching was this stuff right here. Yes. It was called the Truth Project. And we'll get to that. That material came from Focus on the Family. So you want me to name names, I'm going to name names. That's where it came from. That curriculum was put together by R.C. Sproul. Now, R.C. Sproul is a, I could not debate R.C. There's no way I'd debate R.C. Sproul. He's no longer with us now. He's passed on. But what he was teaching was wrong. But yet, it crept into Focus on the Family. And I'm not so sure Focus on the Family hadn't drifted way before that time. But we just hear about it and go, oh, Focus on the Family is such a great Christian organization. Until you find out what they're teaching and what they allow to teach, you don't know how good they are. Don't assume with a name anything is good until you've researched it. Okay, yes. You can read it, but you're not going to question the apostle because they'll just ask you kindly.
Well, she's asking, how do they
not know about the text if they read their Bible? And that's my question. So are they not,
it's not literal?
It's not literal to them.
So it's all like.
All allegorical.
Israel, right? That kind of
thing. Well, yeah, we'll get there, yeah. That's where I'm trying to move us there quickly here. So. Seven mountains, seven spheres, same thing. Truth Project was taught as seven spheres. So Dr. Kuyper, if you want to Google Dr. Kuyper, Kuyper was a Reformed theologian who tried to think about, and he became Prime Minister of the Netherlands way back in the 18th century. that if he could get a hold of government, et cetera, things could change for the better. That's the whole premise behind it. So understand the theology here that they're bringing the kingdom in right now. Not later, now. That's the difference between us and them. The seven mountains are, there you have them on your note sheets, government, media, education, entertainment, business, family, and religion. That's what's involved here. These are the seven mountains or spheres that they tried to infiltrate to change for the better. And the more they can change them, the quicker Jesus Christ will come back to the kingdom here. It's mission-focused rather than Christ-focused. Mission-focused rather than Christ-focused. Big into revivals. It's key to their movement. Great awakening that we usher in. That's their big thing. If you Google NAR, they have revivals all over. And I don't mean little ones, big ones. Okay, big ones. Unity at the expense of biblical doctrine to bring heaven to earth. So they're willing to work with anybody to bring heaven to earth. No matter if their doctrine, theology match up, or it doesn't make a difference. And when we get to the one page, I know Nancy's seen this because there's like 80 groups involved in this movement. And they're major players and they're from all over different walks of faith. The blurring of doctrinal and denominational lines brings together leaders of charismatic, reformed, word of faith, seeker emerge, progressive, and Roman Catholic churches under one umbrella. Sound familiar? Under one umbrella. So all your seeker-friendly emerging churches are all involved in this too. Yes. It bring them in too. Yep, Hinduism, doesn't make a difference. They'll all be brought in. Like I said, it's unity at the expense of biblical doctrine. They can waive that because as long as you're agreeing to work with me to make these seven changes, it's okay. What I think the underlying tone is, there's one common denominator they all have. They don't like Israel. That's the common denominator through all of them. It's replacement theology to the core. That's their whole premise behind all this. All right, let's continue as I try to get through this within the next 3 minutes. It's going to be tough, but we'll try. They deny the sufficiency of the scripture. They may believe in the inerrancy and the authority of the Bible. The key word there is may. May believe. How they're taught or how they look at their theology, especially where they put, if they put Israel not involved, then you could cave into that theology real easy. If there's no place for Israel, I could easily convince you to go to the other side. Scripturally, it's not hard to do. We hold to be in Israel is God's beloved people still to this day. Doesn't make a difference what they've done. They just take them right out of the mix completely. So now I can really change my theology. I can do a lot of things, and that's where these seven mountain mandates come into, and this is where the change comes into, where if we do this, people, then Jesus will return to reign here on earth. That's how they sell it. And the word of faith people are the same way. They buy into the same premise. That's why they're just like this. They're a clique. Okay, they're a clique. God's word is not enough. God's word is not enough. Jesus' sacrificial death for our sins is not good enough. I got to work. I'm mandated to do this, this, and this. Even though the Bible doesn't say that, but, excuse me, I have to do that. And this is not going to work, so I apologize, but we'll get through it. The promise of eternal life in heaven is not enough. That's not enough. They have what they call a cultural sphere of influence. It's called the Cultural Commission. You've heard of the Great Commission? This one runs parallel to it. This is what they teach. God mandated this. It runs parallel to the Great Commission. This is the Seven Mountain Mandate. Is equal to the Great Commission. There is no substitute for obeying the Great Commission and the Cultural Commission. That's in quotes. So that's what they teach. There's no substitute for it. They go hand in hand. They go together. How do they accomplish this? They accomplish this by what they call common grace. Okay, common grace. This is not in your notes. You may want to add this in the best that you can. Common grace teaches that God works wonders in the ungodly, or in parentheses, society. It restrains sin in them so that they are no longer totally depraved. It enables these godless, Christless men and women to perform deeds in everyday earthly life that are truly good and please God. Now you know where the unity comes from? It empowers the wicked to build a cultural, an entire way of life of society or a nation that glorifies God. And because of this, there is unity and a crossing of denominational and doctrinal differences because of this. That's how they do it. Pretty simple. Common grace. God closes eyes to some sin of the depraved man who's not a believer, but he will use him along with people in this group to bring about the change. That's how they justify what they do. I don't think there's any place, no place in the Bible that teaches common grace. Grace, yes. Common grace defined by this, no. This is no different than Reformed people telling you that God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit made a covenant back in the beginning of time. It's not scriptural. I don't read it anywhere. It's not there. And this is where they made that deal, was right here. This goes back to this. This traces itself back to that covenant way back in time. So that's what we have going on here. Some apostles and prophets, Peter Wagner, Fuller Seminary, Mike Bickle, International House of Prayer, Bill Johnson, Bethel Church, Redding, California. And these are all big places, people. These are not little, tiny places. Brian and Bobby Houston, Hillsong Church. Steve Schultz, The Elijah List. So it goes, I could name more and more. Rick Wagner. They're all involved in this. He may not call himself an NAR, but he believes in the mandate. See, he believes in that mandate. So I can include him in this mix. Among anyone who's emerging, they're all in this camp. They've all worked together to do this. This is my view, and some may disagree. I would say both these movements are cults. They're both cults because they teach a gospel contrary to one that we know. However, the people who are in them are Christian people. But maybe, I'll put the word maybe, and they should truly get out. If they're a Christian, they have no business being in these organizations. None whatsoever. And remember, and I showed you this a long time ago, that big funnel. When you put all this in and all trickles down, the common thing that comes out is right there. No mention of Israel. They're entrenched in replacement theology. To the core, they're entrenched. Because of the turmoil of our times, someone said that the future is not what it used to be. Not true. The future was foretold and is playing out with a prescribed script and predictable end only because it is all outlined in scriptures. I had some questions, but you know, I'm just going to read them real quick. Why would God instruct anyone to take over the spheres or mountains and build a kingdom here on earth when Jesus stated his kingdom was not of this world? Okay, think about that. Why would he give messages to build and take over society that he intends on destroying at the end of time? Why would he direct his people to devise ways to gain cash when he showed such little interest in it among his own? Remember? He didn't care about money at all. Let me close with this one so you can see who's involved, and then I'll be done. These are the groups that are partnered with them to change the world. I'll kind of, I don't know if you can see them all. 60 Plus Association, American Transformation Company, America's National Prayer Committee, American Family Association, Pastors Network, American Values, Americans United for Life, Asian Network, Blue Diamond Media, a radio network, Bright Media, California Family Council, Center for Arizona Policy, Catholic Vote, CAMFAM Scans, Character Health, Christian Vote, Citizens for Community Values, colleges. Colson's got his group involved in this, of course. As I go down through here, you can see there's a lot of what we could call good groups, but this is where they're attached to. This is supporting what I just talked about. This is what they're doing. Family Research Council. This is United for Purpose, In Purpose Partners. Where's the one I was looking for? We'll just keep going down. Right there's the one right there. Focus on the family. Gateway Church, I've heard of it. Hispanic Alliance Network. A lot of television type homeschool legal defense association. Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Liberty. I mean, there's just all kinds of groups tied into this group. Yes. I had a chance to talk when I go over to this one particular church and speak. There's a lot of them caught up into that too. And I had to show them from Scripture when I've gone and talked to their pastor even too that no prosperity is mentioned for any Christians. There's none, and that there's the sense of we, meaning us, will be or could be persecuted in the life we live today. Now, it may not be being murdered or maybe not being coming here to church, but we may be sanctioned in other ways. That's what it tells us we're going to do. There's no promise of anything other than eternal life. That's it. There's no promise of money, good health, etc. There's no promise of that. And yet these groups, not this groups, but the group NAR or Word would promise them all that. And if they come to the pastor and say, well, gee, Mr. Osteen, I've been doing this, blah, 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 but I'm not like you. And his comment, I know his comment would be, you're not trying hard enough. You're not praying hard enough. It must be something with you that God won't bless you. That's how they do that. And that's how they suck people in. See, and I told you, all these groups, they get away from it. They don't preach that. Because if you preach the gospel the way it's in the Bible, it's a negative with what happened, but yet it's a positive at the end. It's a negative message. Even though it's a great message, it's still, to their eyes, it's negative. Oh, why do I have to do that? People get caught up into this for two reasons. They want something they can do right now. That's one. And they have a hard time sitting back going, there's got to be more to the Christian life than just me staying here when people in Africa need blankety blank blank. Or even people here. So we start getting involved, and next thing you know, we're helping organizations that support this and trying to mandate something that's not biblical. Nowhere in the Bible does God tell you or me to change society. Nowhere. Or someone needs to show me where it says that. Or to change education. Now, does it mean I can't get involved in those things? No, I can. I've been involved in education for almost 30 years. But I'm not mandated to go in there and change it. I do what I think is spiritually right when I'm at those places I've been involved in. But I'm not mandated to do anything with that. Because I know there's no kingdom here on this crazy planet that we live in today. And all this stuff keeps just reinforcing to me. I think what they teach is it's going to get better. Someone raise their hand and please tell me in the last 30 years if it's gotten better. If you're honest with yourself, you won't raise your hand. It's not getting better. Christ said it wouldn't get better. Until what? Until he comes. And that's the part we have to understand. Thank you. I went a little over. I apologize. You got a little short break, and that's it. Yes, question. New Apostolic Reformation. I think those two groups are the most dangerous groups out there today as far as Christianity goes. And I'm almost beginning to wonder, we lose that term real loosely in the Middle East. I wonder if anymore we're not using it here in America the same way, real loosely. Everyone who's not a Muslim is a Christian. I think we got to be careful of that. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you, for teaching this. And we know there are good people involved in both these groups. And we just pray for them and pray that somehow, Lord, that you may speak to them and to their conscience about getting out and not staying in and seeing that what is being taught is not correct, is not biblical. And we know that's so hard to do because we may have friends and family who attend those places. We just ask for guidance. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for helping us to truly know your word and your gospel and what the gospel really says. We thank you for a great pastor who teaches us every week from your word, verse by verse. And just thank you that I was able to do this little short study and things that are going on and taking place. Just be with us now as we go to a short time of fellowship. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.